All right, hey, good morning, welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts, good morning, or I should say good afternoon. It is August the 26th, 2026. Beautiful day here on the east side of the country. I hope it's great wherever you are at. It is Wednesday. I thought I would come upstairs, see if I can do a little podcast, share what's going on in my life at the moment. And So it is August the 26th, 2026. So actually, you know, first of all, it's my son's birthday. Happy birthday. 21 years old. Big boy. I love it. I sent him a text. Thank you. You know, he is, it wasn't his responsibility, but it was the reason I decided to get my shit together. Having a son. And August 26, 2006 was my second anniversary. That was the day that I decided that I'd had enough. I woke up to an empty house. I've shared about it before. And made that phone call to Marvin L. Came and drove 4 hours and came to pick me up. And I remember calling my son from the little rehab I went to wish him a happy first birthday. Excuse me, gosh. Yeah, so that was 20 years ago. 20 years ago, I made that phone call, and it would be 2 years later that I would change my sobriety date again to December 22nd, 2008 because of pain pills. And but whatever, right? My sponsor says, if you don't change your sobriety date, you'll never find serenity. And I was like, oh, man. And he was right. You know, I don't want that asterisk in my life. And the funny thing is, you know, I could change my sobriety date, you know, hundreds of times, to be honest with you. You know, if I've ever lied, that's probably a reason to change your sobriety date. If you ever cheated, stolen, you know, that's, you know, they're all character defects. Drinking is a character defect. It's just it became the one unmanageable to everybody else. But when I came into this program, I had a whole lot of character defects. I just happened to join a program that gave me a coin for my time as far as not drinking. But I could be a member of, you know, Liars Anonymous, Cheaters Anonymous, Gluttony, all of them. But luckily, through the steps of this program, I have been able to realize that, right? I remember when I first came to the program, I just thought I was doing so good. I was so proud of myself. I wasn't drinking and driving. And yeah, so it's been a great day. I love it. You know, I'm so proud of my kids. You know, I often say I was too selfish to imagine the life that I live today.
Smoke a cigarette and let your hair down. Then pray for the rain to go away. I'm trying to forget. I let us both down. Then pray for the sun to come again.
I never thought I could feel so small.
You're the one that can't live without attention.
Intervention.
Now I'm reliving my whole
a song. Same Damn Life, Seether. I could play Seether on every podcast for the rest of my time doing podcasts and be quite happy. Seether is awesome. I don't know why I mean, I've always liked Seether, but I just never really dove into Seether. What a great band. So, yeah, that's an interesting Same Damn Life. Luckily, I am not living the same damn life, and I do remember. You know, it's funny. I went to a meeting on Monday and actually came upstairs and started doing the podcast and just couldn't quite get my energy right. And, of course, the meeting that I went to on Monday was about spiritual awakening. And I went to a meeting today, and that meeting was As Bill Sees It, Bill Sees It, page 60, I think. And it was basically too smart to get sober. At least that's what I took away. So I'm going to share on both. Honestly, I'm going to talk a little bit about the spiritual awakening. And I think the part that muddied me up, the part that got me stumbling, was the reality of this program is, at least for me, it's an evolution. I can wake up today and I'm like, yeah, I think I got it figured out. Check with me in a month and I'll be like, whoa, didn't have it figured out. That's new. And that just seems to be happening over and over and over, year after year. More gets revealed. And so to talk about the spiritual awakening is really tough because I'm thinking about, you know, 20 years of working at this program and what I was looking for and what I have today. And I've said it before, I don't believe I can search for God. I don't think that's, self can't search for humility. Self can't search for God, I don't believe. I don't know if the motivation's correct, and I just don't know if it's the secret key that gets you through the door. I searched, I looked, I tried, and I got nothing, so I gave up. And that would sort of wrap up my journey to the spiritual awakening, at least for a big chunk of my recovery. But today, you know, and so of course, I gave up. I'm like, he still ain't talking to me, so I'm not worried about it. Well, I've shared before, God found me. And it's when I stopped searching and, you know, but if you just said spiritual awakening, the first time I heard it, I'm like, what is that? Like a spiritual buddy, a spiritual friend? Is it God? What am I getting out of this spiritual awakening? Because that's what my mind thinks. If something's waking up, it's a spiritual awakening, that must mean they're waking up to help me. And it's just not the case for me, right? It's for me. And you have to remember, you know, I've been doing this a long time. I might lose most of you on this chat, but I'm going to try to do my best. So for me, a spiritual awakening, it has nothing to do with God, really. It has nothing to do with spirituality. It has nothing, for me at least, has nothing to do with praying. It has nothing to do with meditation. What it has to do, for me at least, is the awakening and the reality that this just isn't a bad habit. This just isn't something that I do. This is all a spiritual battle, a spiritual malady. And realizing that I am surrounded all the time by spirits, good and bad. And I have been on both sides. I have been possessed by evil spirits. You know, I can remember sitting at a bar with someone and them telling me, you know, I can't drink too many. I've got to do this. And me going, have another. Pushing that person to drink more, be more. You know, when I was at the height of my drinking, nobody drank like me. I couldn't hang out with anybody. I would every once in a while meet somebody and we'd go out and I'd get hammered and I remember this one girl fell backwards in the stool, cracked her head on the wall. She was hammered, probably never consumed that much alcohol. But when you're with me back in those days, that's what we did. And of course, you know, I never saw her again. But that was just, you know, I was possessed. It's my only excuse, my behavior, the things that I did under the influence of alcohol. It's not me. It's not the person I am today. I guess, you know, history shows I am capable. But I will say most of the things that I ever did that were really bad and out of character usually were under the influence of alcohol. So, of course, taking the alcohol out of my life that spirit, Big Daddy, the main devil, hasn't been back. But, you know, there's a lot of other ones, you know, and they talk about them. This isn't, you know, this isn't an original idea. You know, you have the seven deadly sins. To me, those are seven spirits. Gluttony, jealousy, you know, they're all in there. And I always say, and the main ones for me today are inconvenience and arrogance. And what was the other one that I've been doing? Self-pity, I think, is the other one. Making up stories, tragedy, and then reacting to them and things never even happened. That's another one that I have to deal with. But inconvenience and arrogance are the two main problems that I have, the two main spirits. You know, it reminds me of when I was growing up as a kid. You know, you had those kids in your neighborhood that your parents never wanted you to hang out with. Don't hang out. My buddy Billy. Great guy. Just, you know, went and visited him out in Albuquerque. Awesome dude. But when we were teenagers, we were not good together. At least in our parents' eyes. We had the best time, right? But every time my parents would be like, don't go hang out with so-and-so and so-and-so because every time you hang out with them, you get in trouble. Not their fault. I also had another friend whose parents would blame me for all of his problems. So, you know, the buck gets passed down the line. But the reality is that they're all, you know, of course, those are just friends. And, you know, but together we weren't good. These spirits to me are play a role in my life and everything I do. You know, I've said before, you know how my brain is. You know how I get. No, the steps of the program teach us to figure out why it is I get like that and why it is I say my brain's like that. You know, it's character defects. And to me, they're all spirits. And that, to me, the awakening of like, oh, this isn't just me having bad luck. Oh, wow, this isn't just my brain. Oh, this isn't just, you know how I am. No, there's actually ways to figure out what these are. And, you know, most for my biggest problems today are inconvenience and arrogance. I had a lady call the other day, and she's like, can I get in with you? And I was like, sure. And she's like, can I come in on this day? And I'm like, ah, that day doesn't work. And then this day, and ah, that one didn't work. And I said, I tell you what, why don't you come in on Monday, and I'll take care of your hair then. And she's like, all right. Well, a few days later, all of a sudden, it started to become slightly inconvenient because I don't usually work on Mondays. And so I'm like, hey, how about Wednesday? And she's like, yeah, that's perfect. So I moved her to today. I put her in early, so I was able to get in there. It was not that big of a deal, right? But I, you know, and I showed up, and of course, she's a lovely lady, and I do her hair, and she loves it, and everything is great, and I'm just, you know, beaming. Well, then I get a text from her. I did her hair this morning, then went to the meeting, and I was in the meeting, and she texts me back. She goes, I don't think we cut enough hair off the sides, and I'm just was wondering if I could swing back by and maybe we could trim a little more off. Well, who showed up? Arrogance. He was there. Arrogance sat down right next to me. He's like, you want to do this? And I'm like, nope, I don't. And I said, you know what? No problem. I said, I am in a meeting, but when I'm done, I will meet you at the salon and we'll take care of it. No problem. But Arrogance was sitting next to me, and he's like, does this chick know that you actually came in on your day off? And, you know, it started giving me a whole bunch of reasons to be a prick. And honestly, that has worked for years. You know, I shared in the meeting today, and I've shared before. I've been sober, I'll celebrate 18 years, but I can tell you, it's probably been just the last few years that these steps have started to make sense to me and started working in my life. As much as I've thought and said that they were, but it's finally starting to happen. And today I'm like, I don't feel like apologizing later, right? I don't feel like feeling bad about what I've said. I don't feel like having fear and worry that she won't come back because of what I say. So I'm just going to skip all of that drama and just say, I'll see you at 1:40. Not a problem. I appreciate you. Thank you very much. Whoa. And then, you know, saying it, it's just silly. Tom, seriously. I mean, we all know that. Do we? Do I? Because I can tell you, I've said those words. You know, I came in on Wednesday. I'm not coming back. La, 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 la. And then conversation over. And then I spend the next, you know, 72 hours going, you shouldn't have said that. Maybe you lost a client. Now I start to worry. And then I start to really judge my whole all of me, right? And I don't want to do it. I don't want to do that anymore. Because I am aware that the spirits are awake and alive and kicking. And every time I talk about this, I think people's eyes roll in the back of their head. You know, it just seems too hokey, but it's real. You know, I'm a spiritual being having a human experience that involves alcohol, said by my great late friend Libby. She was an awesome lady. But she used to say that, and I used to roll my eyes in the back of my head. But it's absolutely true. This is a spiritual experience. I'm a spiritual being having a human experience, right? And so, what does that mean? I don't know. It doesn't really mean anything. I guess it's just, but if someone had come up to me and said, yo, Tom, you know, this is spiritual, man, and, you know, these are spirits, I would have not been able to figure it out. I've had to evolve through time and pain and worry and fear. But, you know, that's today what I call God, right? Life with all that missing. Peace, love, and free of fear. And all I have to do is just be a good person, right? A really, really, really good person, which isn't, you know, isn't always easy. But that's the solution. Be a good person, and you don't have to worry about shit. And that's what all this program is trying to teach us and teach me. And I have started, and I'm aware of that, I have just not done it thoroughly and honestly this whole time. But I'm getting better, right? I'm starting to understand. I'm starting to recognize. I was saying, you know, it's the seventh step, I think, that keeps most of us. And I will say, I'll speak for myself. I won't speak for most of us. I'll speak for myself. The seventh step is what's kept me from completely finding serenity and finding peace and free of fear. It's the seventh step. It's the shortcomings. It's the ones that nobody sees, right? But that took time, right? And so that's my sort of thought on the spiritual awakening. You know, people say, I believe in the spiritual awakening, who I choose, or I believe in a higher power who I choose to call God. I don't think higher power is God. I think God is God. I think higher power is the ability to recognize the spiritual awakening and to be able to refrain myself from saying dumb shit and acting dumb and texting dumb things and, you know, having dumb conversations and, you know, all this other stuff. Because I'm aware of the pain and fear and worry. And so I avoid it. And I think that's a higher power. You know, if I could shoot lasers out of my eyes, you'd be like, man, that is some higher power. You know, if I could levitate, whoa, that is some higher power. But if I can avoid filling my heart with fear and worry and shame, to me, that's a higher power. You know, it may not be as awesome as lasers from the eyes, but believe me, I find it to be an amazing higher power. But I will say, using that higher power allows me to have a relationship with God, peace, love, free of fear. I don't know if that made sense. Probably didn't. That's why I do the podcast. And so, yeah, the other topic was page 60. And I guess I could sort of briefly read it, but it's kind of one of those daily reflections that's so boring. But it says brain power alone. It says, to the intellectually self-sufficient man or woman, many AAs can't say, yes, we were like you, far too smart for our own good. We love to have people call us precocious. We used our education to blow ourselves up in prideful balloons. Though we were careful to hide this from others, secretly we felt we could float above the rest of the folks on our brain power alone. Scientific progress told us there was nothing man couldn't do. Knowledge was all powerful. Intellect could conquer nature. Since we were brighter than most folks, so we thought, the spoils of victory could be ours for the making. No, for the thinking, excuse me. The God of our intellect displaced the God of our fathers. But John Ballycorn had other ideas. We who had won so handsomely in a walk turned into all-time losers, we saw that we had to consider or had to reconsider or die. And I can tell you, it's funny, I have been through this program for a long time, and I've seen many people that were too smart to get sober. I almost classify myself as that at some point, but not really. But I do, you know, and it's sort of, I talked about it in that podcast the other day about these people that make this pilgrimage to Canton, Ohio, because if I go to Canton, Ohio, I'm going to be sober, or I'm going to be more sober, or these people that go to these millennial meetings or whatever, and, you know, they stand up and it's just, you know, great. But the fact is, and I've seen people that have come into the program with backpacks of books and literature and talk about them and bookmarks and just a fucking whole lot of self. Everything that I need to know and learn is in the big book in the 12 and 12 period. As Bill sees it, it's all cuts. It's all taken out of the big book and the 12 and 12, I think. There may be some Living Sober references, but for the most part, are grapevines. But it's all, you know, I only read that just to find things that are interesting to talk about. But the reality is everything that I need to know, it consists in the big book and in the 12 and 12. And, you know, I've talked about this guy that always says, he thinks that we should read other material because, you know, other people have ideas too. Those are people I think that aren't willing to be honest and thorough. You know, I probably the last 3 years I've been feeling like these steps have been working. But for the last 15 before that, I thought I was doing pretty good. But it's usually the seventh step. It's the shortcomings, the little things that I do in life that bring problems, you know, that remind me that I'm not really working the program of this or the 12 steps of this program. I'm not being honest and I'm not being thorough. You know, it's like stealing the sugar packets. It's like my buddy Matt, you know. Sugar packets are free, but they're not for filling up your pockets. And, but that's sort of how I ran my life. I filled my pockets up with free sugar packets. Nobody knew. Nobody really cared. But God knew. And as soon as I decided to stop doing that thoroughly and honestly, it wasn't until then that my life started to get better. And listen, from the person that I was when I came in this program, immediately my life got better. But, you know, I stopped disappointing people. Stop, you know, just the things that I would do. I mean, I was 10 or so years into the recovery and, you know, making bad choices and relationships. And on the outside looked like I was a good guy, but behind the scenes it wasn't. I wasn't. I was not being a good guy. And I was so full of fear and worry. Oh, my God. And just how can a person be so afraid and so full of worry and think they have a relationship with a higher power? God. Because to me, God is peace, love, and free of fear. You can't have both. And, you know, of course, things changed. You know, the truth came out. Pain was given. Walk of shame, all that stuff. And I really had to dig in. And, you know, relationships to me are as bad as drinking. It's sort of how I grew up. You know, we chased women. We loved flirting with the girls. And it's just, you know, I'm a kid of the 80s, man. And that was just sort of what we did. And you know, that's gotten me in problems. You know, it's been problems. But in the past, thank God. But today, you know, I don't know if I shared this story. You know, I got a new car, and when I brought the car home, there were the profiles in the car. You know, if you have a car, more than likely relatively new, I guess. But you can put a profile, like for each driver, driver one, driver two, and you can put your name and your little font, your little picture or whatever. And when I got the car, there was a profile, and it said Nicole. And I was like, oh, my God, what is this? And so I'm driving home, and when I got home, I went to my wife. I said, I want to tell you right now, I just brought this car home, and there's a profile in the car right now, and it says Nicole, and I know nothing about it. Right? And my wife's like, what do you mean? And I go, it's in there. I don't know. It's like, it just says Nicole. And she's like, okay, well, you know, maybe. And of course, I talked to the dealership, and the guy's like, oh, that must have been the person that delivered the car. And I'm like, that's not true. And it turns out, I think what happened is Nicole bought that car, the original car, and it was a bad car, and she returned it. And they must have given her a new car, and then they tried to sell that busted up piece of crap to me, and I had to return it and get a new car. So that car had problems, but, you know, I was just like, I don't know, Nicole, I don't know why that's there. I just want, you know, I don't want any issues, right? You know, I steer clear from all of those issues. When people friend me, friend request on any social platform, if it's a female, I don't accept it. Even though my intentions, I would think, well, some spirit tells me my intentions are good, but there's another spirit right behind them going, meh. And so I just know now. I don't accept. I want nothing. I don't want anything to do with any of that. And for that, I have peace, right? I'm not worried about any bad things that I've done because I'm not doing anything. I'm just avoiding all problems. And it's smart. But it took a little while to learn. But it's just as bad as drinking and drugging and, you know, lying and cheating, all that shit. It's, you know, they're all in the seventh step. And, you know, unfortunately, we have to relinquish all of them. All right. Anyway, might have been too much information, but oh well. Let's see if we can do a little daily reflections, and then I'm out of here. Read today. Here we go. I'm interested to hear what this says. August 26th. Giving it away. Though they knew they must help other alcoholics if they would remain sober, that motive became secondary. It was the transcended by the happiness they found in giving themselves for others. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 159. Those words for me refer to a transference of power through which God, as I understand him, enters my life. Through prayer and meditation, I open channels. Then I establish and improve my conscious contact with God. Through actions, I then receive the power I need to maintain my sobriety each day. By maintaining my spiritual condition, by giving away what has been so freely given to me, I am granted a daily reprieve. That's so true. So true. All right. Well, listen, I appreciate you letting me share. I hope everyone's having a great day. And I'll catch you later. Bye.